Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
You are listening to Blessed and Bossed Up, presented by Anchored Media, an entrepreneurship podcast for Christians all about how to make God the CEO of your business. Get ready to be inspired, challenged, but well-equipped to live and build your destiny His way. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. We are at the end. We are in the last chapter of Joyce Meyer, Battlefield of the Mind. I pray that for those of you who are reading this with me, that you have enjoyed reading this book. I pray that you have enjoyed these episodes, even at the times where I was critical of the text. I mean, that's what this book club is about, not just me coming on here and agreeing with everything, but for us to allow the pages to be a springboard for a broader conversation, and also for us to be critical of things that we're reading so that we can make sure that they're lining up with the word before we just accept them as true because it may sound good on the surface. So I pray that you learned something, that you were inspired, but most importantly, that it sent you back to your word and you were able to study for or study about the things that may have hit hard for you as we were talking about them. We are going to continue straight in to our next book. The next book we're going to be reading is Leadership as an Identity, The Four Traits of Those Who Wield Lasting Influence. The description says, ask yourself this question. What character qualities define a godly leader? The question leaves out so much. Asking only about character seems inadequate. What about personality, communication skills, IQ, education, previous experience, and more, right? Author Crawford Loritz answers this question with four simple words. Brokenness, communion, servanthood, and obedience. These four characteristics provide the framework for leadership as an identity. Examining each trait, Loritz undermines the pervasive and unbiblical assumptions about leadership. Loritz imparts timely wisdom, correction, and direction. God doesn't look for leaders like the world does. He looks for disciples. So the link to grab this book is in the show notes. I'm excited to go ahead and dust it off and start reading at least the first chapter. And then we'll pick back up on it this week. And then this week, when we do the first episode, I'll also kind of give you the timeline of how we're going to break this book down, because I know the holidays are coming up. It's going to be less likely that you're going to be reading this book during like Thanksgiving and Christmas. So we're going to go ahead and get started, but I will keep you posted on how the episodes are going to go so that way we can account for the holiday times. Again, the link to grab your copy is in the show notes. All right, let's wrap up Battlefield of the Mind. So here we are, the final chapter, chapter 25, and this is Wilderness Mentality number 10. It says, I'm going to do it my way or not at all. She opens up the chapter with Psalm 78, 7 through 8. Let's go to it. It says, so each generation should set its hope anew on God, not forgetting his glorious miracles and obeying his commands. Then they will not be like their ancestors, stubborn, rebellious, and unfaithful, refusing to give their hearts to God. Joyce says, the Israelites displayed much stubbornness and rebellion during their years in the wilderness. That is precisely what caused them to die out there. They just could not do what God told them to do. They will cry out to God to get them out of trouble when they got into a mess. They would even respond to his instructions with obedience until their circumstances improved. Then, repeatedly, they will go back into rebellion. Now, I know we like to give the people of Israel grief about their behavior, but this right here, it just really hit home for me where she specifically highlighted how they were obedient until their circumstances improved. Let's take a second. Am I the only one? I'm just going to put myself out there to where you find yourself when you're in these hard seasons, When you're in a season of suffering, like we talked about on the last episode, you find yourself drawing near to the Lord, doing what he says, because usually at that point, you're all out of options, right? You've done everything your way. You tried to figure it out. So now you're so desperate, you have no choice but to do what the Lord said. And then you are in that space. So then you're hearing from him, you're being obedient, you feel the peace and the contentment that comes from that. You feel the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And then your circumstances change. Then you're no longer in financial strife. Then your business is no longer suffering. Then your children are now behaving. Now your marriage is restored. All of these circumstances change. You got a new job that you have been praying for. You have new friends, a new community. You don't feel alone anymore. Now that these circumstances have improved, that you don't operate with that same level of desperation as you once did. Am I the only one who's guilty of that? And there was just something about her calling it out that just sat with me. And it made me sit and think. What are some ways that I may have gotten lax? What are some ways that I felt like my obedience was optional because my circumstances may not be as dire as they were before? What are some things that God has been telling me and he's been patient with me on? He's been giving me grace about. He's tugging me on and I may have been ignoring it or looking the other way or not leaning into it. But because he's God, he just continues to be kind and give me more opportunities. And what ways have I been behaving in that way because I'm not in this desperate state? I really had to evaluate myself. There have been a couple of things that the Lord has been pushing me towards. They're not major decisions, but just some daily habits that the Lord has been speaking to me about that I've been kind of putting off. And for no real reason, other than because it's something that's seemingly small to me, I haven't given it the same focus and commitment and follow through as the bigger things the Lord tells me to do. And something I want us to understand when we talk about these wilderness mentalities and even this chapter that's specifically on obedience. And obedience, I feel like, is a conversation we need to have a lot more often in the faith community. But in this chapter on obedience, obedience is not just in the big decisions, but it's in the small, mundane, minuscule things that the Lord tells us to do. We have to live every single day with a level of dependency and a level of sensitivity to the Holy Spirit and a level of commitment so that we're going to do what he says. If he's going to be a guide, if he's going to be our counselor, if he's going to reveal and teach us, then we need to be able and ready and willing to take heed and obey and not think that our way is better or allowing what the Lord says to be the final option, but we have to let that be first. And so the same way this really drove me to a place of introspection, I wanted to do the same for you. Is your prayer life the same as it was when you were in harder seasons? Is your dependency on the Lord the same as it was in previous seasons? Let's answer these questions truthfully so that we can repent and so that we can do better moving forward. Joyce says, I was born with a strong personality and probably would have spent many years trying to do it my way no matter what. But the years I spent being abused and controlled, added to an already strong personality, combined together to develop in me a mindset that nobody was going to tell me what to do. Obviously, God had to deal with this bad attitude before he could use me. She says, the Lord demands that we learn to give up our own way and be pliable and moldable in his hands. As long as we are stubborn and rebellious, he can't use us. She said, I describe stubborn as obstinate, difficult to handle or work with, and rebellious as resisting control, resisting correction, unruly, refusing to follow ordinary guidelines. Both of those definitions described me as I was. If I think back to who I am at the core, like my personality, I'm also pretty stubborn. I'm not somebody who is easily influenced. I question most things. I like to think things through. I'm always trying to be objective. That's just my personality, similar to Joyce. I have a strong personality. And not necessarily because of trauma or abuse like Joyce talks about she's gone through, but just more so I've had to make decisions for myself for most of my life, starting at a younger age. And by doing that, I've learned to trust in my own judgment. I've made mistakes, but I've made some pretty good decisions and some pretty responsible decisions that have done well for me over the course of my life leading up to getting saved. Now, I made some terrible ones too, but for the most part, I am somebody who trusts in my own decision making. I have a lot of confidence in my abilities, and I can be pretty strong-willed and bullheaded about my opinions and my perspectives. But when I got saved and I truly decided to give my life to the Lord and truly decided to let Him lead me, that came with also going against my personality, because my personality is not to be moldable. It's not to be pliable. It's not to just do something because somebody told me to do it. That's not, to this day, if somebody's like, you need to, if I hear those words, you need to, and there's an instruction after it, I'm gonna look at you like you crazy. I'm gonna tell you, all I need to do is stay black and die. That would probably be my response, because that is the level of aggression that gets triggered if I feel like somebody trying to tell me what to do. But when it comes to my relationship with the Lord, I had to check that very, very early. And that's something that I still have to check. That level of bravado isn't necessarily there when it comes to the Lord giving me instruction, but still that behavior of doing my way versus His way is something that I have to keep in check. I have to be very hyper-vigilant about my decisions, not just in what logically makes sense to me, not just in what my education tells me, but I have to say, okay, Tatum, I understand that this is what you think based upon what you've been through, what you may have experienced, what your education says. I understand what all goes into your rationale behind why you want to do this a certain way. But that has to be secondary to the Lord. And you need to do what God says, even if it doesn't make sense to you. And that is a practice that I had to really get used to that early on in my faith. Now it's a lot easier. Like it's just embedded in me and ingrained in me at this point of God know way better than me. So girl, sit down and eat your food. Whenever He tell you what to do, then you can apply your little smarts to it. But until then, do whatever He say. If He say jump, it's how high. If He say come on, it's you start running. Where, Lord? So that now it's less of resistance. But earlier on, this was a heavy wilderness mentality for me when it came to obeying God. And this was something I had to constantly surrender to Him. And this is something I had to be vulnerable and honest about, because what happens, I feel like for a lot of us who have these strong personalities, it's because we're guarded in a lot of ways. And guardedness is not conducive to a healthy and intimate and close relationship with the Lord. We can't be guarded and close. How are you going to hug somebody if it's a wall in between the two of you? So for those of you who may identify with this strong personality or being a bit more stubborn or a bit more rebellious, that's something to face head on and surrender to the Lord. Early on, I believe I said this on a previous episode, what I would do is whenever God would give me something that made no sense to me, I will always be honest about how I felt about it. Like, God, it doesn't make any sense that you want me to quit my job now when I got bills. I don't really have the money for this. If I do it then I'll be able to save more and XYZ, all of my little points. God, this doesn't make sense. I feel like I should, because I would get it all out and I'll say, nevertheless, not my will, let your will be done. And so that was my way of acknowledging that resistance that was in me, but then deciding that despite what my sense said, I was going to do what the Lord said. And the more that I practiced that, and the more that I did that, and I was diligent in my decision making, I had to do that exercise a whole lot less. I don't have as much resistance with His instructions as I did before. And so that's something I want you to do. Be honest about how you feel. I always say acknowledge how you feel, but stand on what you know. What you know is the word of God. What you know is He won't leave you nor forsake you. What you know is His word will never return back to Him void. What you know is His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. What you know is that He who began a good work in you will see it through. We have a whole Bible full of promises that we can stand on and that we can choose to think about agree with and believe in so that we can use that to empower us to continue to overcome our flesh and our temptation to do things our way. This episode is brought to you by Indeed. One of the most frustrating aspects of hiring is finding the right person. It takes a long time, and you really want to find the right person quickly so that you can start making the progress that you want to make on your business. If you're in a similar boat and you realize that your business needs to hire somebody yesterday and you want to know how you can find amazing candidates fast, easy, just use Indeed. When it comes to hiring, Indeed is all you need. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs helps you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so that you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. When I was hiring, the process was slow and overwhelming. I wish I had Indeed. There's no need to wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/blessed. Just go to Indeed.com/blessed right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/blessed. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring, Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by IXL. In my household, education is so important, and in summer, there's still no breaks. So whether your child is trying to catch up, stay sharp like we are, or get a head start for the fall, IXL can make learning a seamless part of the summer. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning, whether they're brushing up on math or diving into social studies. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies from pre-K through 12th grade with content that's engaging, personalized, and yes, actually fun. It's the perfect tool to keep learning going without making it feel like school. I am so excited to get started with IXL. My son is getting ready to go to kindergarten, and one of the tools that his school uses is IXL for Learning. And so we are so excited to dive in this summer to prepare him for the upcoming year. This program will improve your kids' grades. It will work for any of your kids. You save time and you save money, so don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And Blessed and Bossed Up listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com. Visit IXL.com to get the most effective learning platform out there at the best price. The next section here, it says that God wants obedience, not sacrifice. And she brings up 1 Samuel 15:22-23. I'm going to read it, but just so we have the full context, I'm going to start at verse 10. It says, "Then the Lord said to Samuel, 'I'm sorry that I ever made Saul king, for he has not been loyal to me and has refused to obey my command.' Samuel was so deeply moved when he heard that he cried out to the Lord all night. Early the next morning, Samuel went to find Saul. Someone told him Saul went to the town of Carmel to set up a monument to himself. Then he went on to Gilgal. When Samuel finally found him, Saul greeted him cheerfully. 'May the Lord bless you,' he said. 'I have carried out the Lord's commandment.' 'Then what is all of this bleating of sheep and goats and the lowing of cattle I hear?' Samuel demanded. 'It's true that the army spared the best of the sheep, goats, and cattle,' Saul admitted, 'but they are going to sacrifice them to the Lord your God. We have destroyed everything else.' Then Samuel said to Saul, 'Stop. Listen to what the Lord told me last night.' 'What did he tell you?' Saul asked. And Samuel told him, 'Although you may think little of yourself, are you not the leader of the tribes of Israel? The Lord has anointed you king of Israel, and the Lord sent you on a mission and told you, go and completely destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, until they are all dead. Why haven't you obeyed the Lord? Why did you rush for the plunder and do what was evil in the Lord's sight? But I did obey the Lord, Saul insisted. I carried out the mission he gave me, and I brought back King Agag, but I destroyed everyone else. Then my troops brought in the best of the sheep, goat, cattle, and plunder to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal. But Samuel replied, "What is more pleasing to the Lord, your burnt offerings and sacrifices, or your obedience to his voice? Listen, obedience is better than sacrifice, and submission is better than offering the fat of rams. Rebellion is as sinful as witchcraft, and stubbornness as bad as worshiping idols. So because you have rejected the command of the Lord, he has rejected you as king." This text is just such a good place to study on your own, but these verses are talking about Saul's disobedience to God. God commanded Saul through Samuel to completely destroy the Amalekites and all that belonged to them. However, Saul decided that he was going to spare the king and kept the best of their livestock to say that he was going to use this as an offering to the Lord. And Samuel wasn't having it. As a prophet of God and the Lord speaking through him, he confronted Saul, rebuking him for prioritizing these sacrifices versus just doing what God said. And so many of us, we do everything Christ-like, but be obedient. We go to church every Sunday, we participate in stuff, we serve, but we're not doing what God said. And then we're trying to act like we're being obedient because we're doing all of these obedient adjacent activities. But God sees and he knows, and he's going to hold you accountable to if you did or did not do what he said. We cannot finesse our way into being obedient. We either are or we are not. And doing things that are Christian-like, but not being obedient to the Lord that we say that we serve is just simply not going to cut it. And so again, another introspective moment. How many of you have been doing things around what God said? He told you to start your podcast. So you've bought mics. You have maybe bought some programs or things to help you learn a little bit. You've done everything but record and upload to your RSS feed. One thing we got to realize is we can't hide from God. He is not going to take our excuses. We can't talk our way into acting like we're being obedient. We can't. We can't negotiate with him. We can't just manipulate situations. All the stuff that may work with man, it does not work with God. When I first decided to live for him, man, I was good at trying to talk my way out of something because it served me well for a long time. I can articulate my way into or out of a lot of stuff. And I had for a very long time in my younger years. But when it came to the Lord, like, God did all of these words, but did you do what I said? I hear you. Cool, cool, cool. But my daughter, did you do what I said though? I told you to do all of this stuff you're saying is everything but what I asked you to do. God is a father that's going to hold us accountable. That's what we need. And it shouldn't be a problem if you're truly committed to him. Joyston talks about the book of Ecclesiastes, and this actually inspired me to want to read and go through that book this week in my own time. She says, the introduction to the book of Ecclesiastes and the Amplified Bible says, the purpose of this book is to investigate life as a whole, and to teach that in the final analysis, life is meaningless without proper respect and reverence for God. We must understand that without obedience, there is no proper respect and reverence. The rebellion shown by many of the children today is caused by a lack of proper respect and reverence for their parents. This is often the fault of the parents because they have not lived in front of their children a life that would evoke respect and reverence. Most scholars agree that the book of Ecclesiastes was written by King Solomon, who was given more wisdom from God than any other man. If Solomon had so much wisdom, how could he have made so many sad mistakes in his life? The answer is simple. It is possible to have something and not use it. We have the mind of Christ, but do we always use it? Jesus has been made unto us wisdom from God, but do we always use wisdom? Solomon wanted to go his own way and do his own thing. He spent his life trying first one thing and then another. He had anything and everything that money could buy, the best of every worldly pleasure. And yet this is what he said in the conclusion of the book. And this is Ecclesiastes 12:13. It says, That's the whole story. Here now is my final conclusion. Fear God and obey his commands, for this is everyone's duty. I'm gonna read it one more time. That's the whole story. Here now is my final conclusion. Fear God and obey his commands, for this is everyone's duty. Joyce says, let me put into my own words what I've received from the scripture. The purpose of man's creation is that he reverence and worship God by obeying him. All godly character must be rooted in obedience. It is the foundation of all happiness. No one can ever be truly happy without being obedient to God. Anything in our lives that is out of order will be brought into adjustment by obedience. Obedience is the duty of man. Now, I don't necessarily agree with her saying that obedience is the foundation of all happiness, because happiness has nothing to do with obedience to me. It's our duty. Like, the point of this text here is that it is our duty to obey the Lord. Joy is our portion because that comes from the Lord. Happiness is situation dependent. So you can be obedient and the circumstance not be favorable, so you won't be happy. Right? The Lord can have you doing something that doesn't bring happiness to you. It's painful. It hurts. It's pruning you for a reason, but it's still suffering nonetheless. So I really don't understand where happiness came from, but that's what Joyce is getting out of this. And I'll let her have that. But for me, and for the sake of this episode, I want us to really understand in our minds that it is our duty to obey the Lord. All this other stuff, all this Christ-like behavior, all this churchy behavior, it is our duty to obey the Lord. And it should be our focus, and it should be our commitment, and it should be a non-negotiable. I did like how she brought up that our obedience is not just, it won't just benefit us, and our disobedience won't just hurt us. She brought up Romans 5:19, which says, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. She said our choice to obey or not to obey not only affects us, but multitudes of others. Just think about it. If the Israelites had promptly obeyed God, how much greater their lives would have been. Many of them and their children died in the wilderness because they would not submit to God's ways. Their children were affected by their decisions, and so are ours. She says, recently, my oldest son said, Mom, I have something to tell you, and I may cry, but hear me out. He then went on to say, I have been thinking about you and Dad and the years you have put into this ministry and how all the times you chose to obey God and how it has not always been easy for you. I realize, Mom, that you and Dad have gone through things that nobody knows about. And I want you to know that this morning, God made me aware that I am benefiting greatly from your obedience, and I appreciate it. As a mother, this part really touched me because I pray that one day my children will be able to recognize the faithfulness of myself and my husband. Even when it came to my issues with fertility, and all the tough decisions that I had to make to be obedient to the Lord, how before I had my first son, I was having a lot of miscarriages, but the Lord told me, don't get any fertility testing done. And at the same time, he had me on this tour. My business was shut down. It was just such a vulnerable place in my life, but it was a place where I was the most obedient that I had ever been up until that point. And one thing that brought me comfort during that time, I was like, well, I don't know what's going on in my body. I don't know why the Lord is telling me not to find out what's going on in my body, because I feel like it would be wise for me to know. But nevertheless, if anything, if I never teach my kids anything worthy throughout their life, at the bare minimum, their origin story is going to be that my mom obeyed God to get me here. So the fact that I am living and that I am breathing is because my mom had faith and she obeyed the Lord. And the same with my other son. When even though the Lord permitted me to get testing, the Lord told me, don't get IVF, don't do IVF. And I didn't. And I can't wait to tell my children these stories about the faith that went into and the obedience of myself and my husband that went into this journey to become parents. And I pray that one day that moves them so much that we could have a conversation similar to how Joyce and her son had this conversation. So for those of you who are parents, I want you to think about that. I want you to think about your children. and how they will be impacted positively or negatively by the decisions that you're making. Whatever space that you hold of influence in your life, think about it. How is my obedience or disobedience going to impact these people that the Lord has called me to be able to have influence over? She ended the chapter and the book the same way she started it, with 2 Corinthians 10:4-5, which says, "We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ." She says, "Our thoughts are what get us into trouble quite often. In Isaiah 55:8, the Lord says, 'For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways.' No matter what you or I may think, God has written his thoughts down for us in his book called the Bible. We must choose to examine our thoughts in light of the word of God, always being willing to submit our thoughts to his kingdom, knowing that his are best. This is exactly the point made in 2 Corinthians 10:4-5. Examine what is in your mind. If it does not agree with God's thoughts, aka the Bible, then cast down your own thoughts and think on his." People living in the vanity of their own mind not only destroy themselves, but far too often they bring destruction to others around them. The mind is the battlefield. And that's it. The last chapter, chapter 25, Wilderness Mentality, number 10. I pray that this blessed you, that this book blessed you, even in my criticisms. And I'm excited for us to start reading the next one. Click the link in the show notes to get your copy. And we're going to start right on it this upcoming week. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. I love you guys, and I'll see you in the next one.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9, selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9, selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.